Movie Mavericks.
The Movie Mavericks Podcast.
Movie Mavericks, speaking of fucking long, uncut European cocks.
The Movie Mavericks Podcast.
Now for your hosts, Jason and Trevor.
I can't wait.
Hey, now everybody, welcome to a special episode of the Movie Mavericks Podcast. Today with Jason Rugard, he will tell you what's going on.
We are doing a retro look back at Universal Soldier. The 25 years old now. My goodness, has it been that long? Released in August of 1992, the Jean-Claude Van Damme, Dolph Lundgren matchup that audiences didn't know they wanted, but they got anyways, right?
Yeah, very true.
This was a big movie in my young film-going career, right? I was 13 mm-hmm. years old when this movie came out, and this was a pretty big movie back in the day. I thought this was the film that Van Damme's career had been building towards. It was the most polished of his movies up to that point. Lionheart and Double Impact were important mm-hmm. stepping stones to this movie, but this was definitely the one that was going to put him out there,
this is
right?
Such a classic man's movie. It's just so simple and such a stupid B movie that it's just in and of itself completely commercial, right? At least to the audience of Van Damme, for sure.
I mean, heavily inspired, obviously, by Carlico's success with T2 the year sure. before, right? But it's obviously, or not maybe not so obviously, inspired by RoboCop as well, I feel like, with the machine regaining his human side and the evil government agencies. It's kind of like Robo Soldiers.
I feel like it's exactly what that is, right? I mean, that's just the Hollywood, you know, it's the same, only different, right? They're just trying to make some more money, but at least I thought this was a fun movie, and as were the others, but it doesn't fail to capture the seriousness, or it does fail, I should say, to capture the seriousness of a lot of the other movies that were much bigger. You know, RoboCop is far more lovingly remembered than I would say Universal Soldier, because really, did people like this movie? Normal people, not us kids, you know, because I liked it as a kid as well, but I can't remember.
I don't think so.
Adults liked it.
This has a bit of a dismal rating on Rotten Tomato, 19% approval.
It does, but that's a critic's thing, right? Does it have a
I think it was
one?
Like 32%. Ooh. This isn't really held in the same regards with Van Damme fanatics, I believe, you know, including mm-hmm. myself, as things like Bloodsport and Kickboxer, those really early ones.
Oh,
this was
of course not.
Because this doesn't have the martial art element to it. This is a straight-up action film.
Yeah.
I think he throws two or three kicks in it, and the ending, they're both martial artists, but it's not a chop sock'em type film per se.
It doesn't have the heart that Bloodsport did either, you know. I mean, that's what I was kind of getting at with the RoboCop stuff, and it just didn't. This is an all-in-all B movie, you know. It doesn't ever really attempt to step out of that.
Absolutely. And did you know that there was actually a film novelization of this that I own? I have the novelization.
Why would how does that read? Yeah, why would you want to read this? It's just like people walking around starkly.
I mean, I've had it since the movie came out, so I think I got it. And I think I actually believe I read the book before I saw the movie.
Yeah.
You know, it was one of those, which is basically a script in novel form. And it's not like it's a real novel. And did you see this movie in the theaters, or did you see this in home video?
I remember it in home video, but I don't remember if I saw it in theaters or not.
I saw this at a tiny one-screen theater in North Shore Lake Tahoe, Nevada side. This was the same theater that I saw gems like Jurassic Park, Sleepless in Seattle, and True Lies in. I mean, real heavy hitters back in my movie-going youth. And this was a great little theater to see this movie, because this movie has that B-movie drive-in quality to it, and it plays well in those little theaters. And really, I remember the audience eating this thing up. It was a lot of, and the trailer for this was fantastic. That early teaser for this, we're going to stop in a few minutes and let you guys hear the trailer, but there was anticipation for this, and it's considered a bit of a blunder at the box office, even though it was the only Van Damme film to break $100 million worldwide at the time. In adjusted monies, it did about $75 million, so pretty solid, but in the wake of T2 and Carlico's financial woes, they really needed this to be a hit, and it wasn't. Let's take a trip back into time and listen to the trailer for Universal Soldiers.
It was a top secret government project.
Pac-Man Ice, all of them.
designed to create the perfect soldier.
No man would ever again have to die in the service of his country.
Cryogenically preserved.
Okay, guys, memory clearance.
Genetically enhanced.
How's the picture?
Pretty ugly.
Very funny, very funny.
Programmed to obey.
They're at the tower.
Okay, here we go.
Who are these guys?
30 hostages held inside the power station at the base of the structure.
I said shut up!
We're inside.
Begin phase two.
This marks the third successful mission for the Universal Soldier.
But there was something they didn't count on.
He's not responding.
GR-44, do you read me?
At the end of the mission, he became completely unresponsive.
Inside the machine is a man.
Do you really think the Pentagon would allow the regeneration of dead soldiers?
Stop the girl. Shoot if you have to.
And all it takes...
Veronica Roberts, TNA.
...is one memory.
She didn't do anything!
...to awaken him.
Let's go! Hit it!
Raider, Universal Soldier.
What the hell did they do to you?
Don't know. But I'm going to find out.
One can't be controlled.
Buckle up.
The other cannot be stopped.
This mission has been canceled.
I'm giving the orders from now on.
I'm gonna teach them all.
Ultimate weapons of the future have declared war on each other. Jean-Claude Van Damme, Dolph Lundgren, Universal Soldier.
Stop, that is an order.
We're back.
So I get the feeling you enjoyed this, revisiting this.
I did. I enjoyed the shit out of it.
Me as well. I really thought it was a lot of fun. I saw it for exactly what it was. So expectations were met. You know, I liked the action in it. I liked that it was cheesy and stupid. And we do have muscles in movies nowadays, but it's not the same. It's just, these guys are like normal guys, even though they're turned into superhuman beings. They're not superheroes.
That they are not, although they are cyborg type machines.
That's what
which
I
is
mean.
Very popular
they're superhuman and all that, but they're not superheroes, right? Like they're very small, right? I mean, story wise, you know, they're not. This isn't a movie about saving the world.
No, this movie takes place over 4 days. It's a very small movie. It's essentially a chase picture. And the rumor is that at one point this was considered as a potential vehicle for Stallone and Schwarzenegger. And it's easy to see them in the roles, right? As that,
yeah,
in that matchup.
That would have been bad, though. That would have been, the expectations would have been too high for that.
Well, Arnold said no because of the rivalry at the time and the size of the role, him in the Lundgren role, thinking that Stallone would have gotten most of the attention out of the film, which would have been correct if it was stands as written now. This was to be directed by Andrew Davis, who left the project to go do The Fugitive, which he was nominated for Best Director a year later. So smart move by him. Emmerich comes in. This is his first big budget film. I think it's his most entertaining, his most restrained, and his leanest film in his entire catalog. I really thought this is the one. You know, I could see where they thought he had the talent to go on and do the big blockbusters, because he makes this look bigger than its budget would even, you know, typically allow. There's some inventiveness.
Yeah, and he's got a nice eye for frames and stuff. And I don't know. I do like Dolph Lundgren as the bad guy in this. I like, especially when he turns bad, that scene where he comes back to the truck and just takes over.
It's great sequence.
It's just fantastic. Yeah, it's so... This was... these movies like this were so much fun. The you know, just the gore and like the violence and stuff. These are when movies used to be violent. You know, nowadays, God, there's violence in PG-13 movies, and they're based, well, just violence in PG movies, but there's not a lot of like important violence by any means.
The first sequence in this was extremely intense. The opening prologue is the strongest sequence I think in the picture, and I thought it was intense and horrifying in the theater. It was very disturbing, and I think it's the best and the most disturbing opening 10 minutes the Vietnam and the Hoover Dam sequence of any action
God,
film
which is awesome.
Since RoboCop from 97 to 92, even better than the opening of T2. I mean, Speed, when it comes out in 94, the first 10 minutes of that's fantastic. We'll beat both of these.
Oh,
but
yes.
From RoboCop's opening where, you know, Peter Weller gets blown away unexpectedly 8 minutes in, and the Vietnam prologue and the Hoover Dam rescue, I think that those are beautiful, beautiful openings to action films and intense. I'm telling you that in a theater, that Vietnam opening, even though they shot it in I think Orlando or somewhere, totally not where you would expect them to shoot it, is really well done. Really well lit too.
Yeah, and the ears, you know, wearing the ears and just all that kind of stuff. Those little things that, you know, a 13-year-old kid would just love.
Don't you think that there is a horror element to this with the ears, the gruesome death, the popping up
no,
in the back seat?
No, I don't think that that's I don't think that's really horror. It's not. It doesn't scare me. You know, it's not really horrific either. It's gross, I guess. But is that really horrific? And the ear thing's not really like you're not afraid that he's gonna do that to you.
That's true.
It's not quite the same as like a horror movie. I get what you're saying, and I agree. I do like that sense of violence in these 90s and 80s movies that we don't get nowadays, you know, even with a movie like this, which is not a horror movie, but you still have those kind of elements. It's just heavy hitting violence, right? It's just like when he punches through that guy's face mask thing in the truck and all, just really anything like that. It's very visceral. It's very like,
shocking in
physical
a way.
Really, you know, where today, the stunts and the way they do things doesn't necessarily feel as physical, as menacing, you know.
Yeah,
it kind of feels like you're standing right next to that guy and you just witnessed him, you know, Dolph Lundgren just punching him in the face like through the shield, through his glass shield, and it's like, oh my god.
This movie does have some very iconic imagery. I love that title sequence where it's such a trailer-ready shot of the body bag zipping up and cut to the title cards with each actor's name on it. This is a great little touch there. And this is Lundgren and Van Damme at the peak of their physical prowess, their looks, you know, their stardom. And I love that they got in a mock fight for the audiences and the press and at the Cannes Film Festival to generate what they said was like Frasier and Ali type hype for their movie, which is kind of a funny idea. And they were in on it, obviously, but there's always been that rumor that they really didn't like each other and there was problems behind the scenes. And by all accounts, everybody got along fine on this movie, maybe too well, because it maybe wasn't hard enough to make. This movie has a bit of a lull to it. Do you feel that at all? Do you feel that it doesn't after
it's a B movie, so yeah. I mean, you almost kind of expect that, though, right? They don't have the budget to go all out, so they're gonna weigh it down. You know, a lot of times when you're waiting for the action, you have time to show off the bods, right?
Which is what they do, obviously. And this is the dinner sequence, or the diner sequence, is supposed to be this kind of comedic little throwaway, but it's the opportunity for Van Damme to have a quick fight scene.
There's a lot of bad comedy in this movie.
But conversely, the supermarket sequence with Lundgren is a fantastic, fantastic
scene. Yeah, I love when once he goes crazy, his character, I feel like, gets really interesting. Or at least Dolph Lundgren gets interesting. You know, he plays a crazy guy pretty well.
And there are a couple things, though, that bothered me about this movie. I never understood in the opening why Van Damme's character bayonets Lundgren. And really, I guess it's to set up so that Lundgren can shoot him from close range and then they could have the movie, because there would be no movie if he just shot him from 10 feet away. But why does he
thrust that the whole the thing? Bayonet? I mean, why is Jean-Claude Van Damme the only guy that can go in and take out Dolph Lundgren at the beginning of the movie? They're not
the
super
virtuous
soldiers. Oh,
right?
Please. It's so stupid. Like, why can't anybody? And how is Dolph Lundgren just blowing people up and just killing, like, all the soldiers and everyone? He's just killing everyone. And no one turned around and shot him?
Well, a lot of
it makes no sense, but.
Well, there's great plot holes in this. What about the fact that at one point, Ed O'Ross there, who says, the government doesn't know about the Universal Soldier Program. And I'm thinking, well, what about all the press they just did?
Yeah, right?
The Hoover Dam there. I mean, do they not know that they're alive? I never understood that differential, because did they not look into the fact that these guys may be dead and nobody knows who the fuck they are and they're swimming 13 miles in 4 minutes and things like that?
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I mean, if that's true, I mean, why does the news know more? The news knows about it? I don't understand. They even had government people, it seems like, in the movie, you know, there, right? Didn't they? Wasn't this kind of a show for government?
That's what I thought.
I didn't understand that either.
And this movie pays, I thought, homage to a lot of Schwarzenegger stuff. I mean, the jumping through the walls bit in the hotel is right out of T2, being thrown through the walls with the T-1000. And even the gag with the couple in bed is recycled out of Commando.
Yeah.
I mean, Universal Soldier is basically a cinematic embodiment of Van Damme's penis envy for Arnold at the time. Arnold was visiting Van Damme on set, and maybe he felt that the competition was breathing down his neck at that point. He was busy off making The Last Action Hero, and we all know how that turned out for Arnold. Here's a question for you.
All right.
GR44, Jean-Claude Van Damme. GR13, Dolph Lundgren. Mm-hmm. What the fuck does the GR stand for?
I don't know. Why are their numbers so far apart? That's what I always question. Because it goes up from there. It's like 55 into like the 80s. It's like, well, where's the other people? How many people were they? Did 80 something of these guys at one point? Like,
where are the rest of these guys? What's going on?
Yeah. I guess that's why we have like about 8 sequels, right?
And the sequels for this get very, very odd, right?
Oh, my God. Do they not? But they, you know what? What's the one with... isn't there one where he's in white makeup?
Yeah, that's the Day of Reckoning. That's one with all the blinding, seizure-inducing...
Yeah. Why is that one halfway interesting, though?
That one's fantastic. That one's like Apocalypse Now of the...
Yeah, how can that be, though? Why is that one... I mean, it looks so silly and stupid, but it's not. I don't know. Some of these other stuff, other offshoots of this, I did like the Canadian television direct-to-TV ones.
I did too. Burt Reynolds is in those ones. Yeah, yeah. Those weren't bad for what they were. Those were just straight to the movie channel, which was an old cable channel, if you don't know. Those were made directly for it. So little low-budget Canadian cable movies that were disregarded by the sequel, the official sequel, which came out in 1999, which is one of the worst fucking movies I've ever seen in the movie theater. It really
is. Yeah, that one was bad.
And then
the one
you have,
after that was interesting.
Regeneration,
interesting.
which got better, got everything back on track. And then Day of Reckoning, which I like, but it has, outside of those seizure-inducing flashing moments, I mean, my goodness. But interesting where the series went. A bit of a tangled road for it. And credit must be given to second unit director Vic Armstrong, who did most of the action sequences. And Dolph Lundgren would work straight away with him in Vic's directorial debut, 1993's Army of One, which is a fun little B movie, too. And that's when Lundgren started going that B movie straight to DVD or straight to video route at the time. But that's a fun one there. That's actually an above par example of the genre. You know, this is a movie which is strange because it's about two hulking guys, right? And this is a movie that, when it comes down to it, is literally about who can do more steroids. Did you pick that up too? And at the end, the good guy wins because he does the most steroids, right? Did you notice that the getaway vehicle for the reporters, the news reporters, when they're fleeing from the scene in the very beginning there, is this old shitty station wagon?
Yeah. I know. I remember that from something from... when I watched this as a kid. I don't know why.
We
had a station wagon, I guess. But yeah, it's a weird car, right?
Griswold's,
yeah, just such a cheap car.
Well, it's because they could roll it and wreck it.
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, my goodness, there's nobody.
Well, this is one of those movies where everything, like this top secret military, they have all these cool sci-fi things, and then all the equipment is like shit, really. Like the cars and extra trucks that they have is all just crap.
Oh, we got a 1950s car. It's cheap to throw somebody through the fucking front window. All right, well, let's take a break and listen to Siskel and Ebert's thoughts on this film.
One of 5 new summer movies we'll be reviewing this week on Siskel and Ebert, including Jean-Claude Van Damme's latest, as well as the latest script by Ingmar Bergman. And when have you heard Jean-Claude Van Damme and Ingmar Bergman in the same sentence? I'm Gene Siskel of the Chicago Tribune. Okay, next film and our next picture is a ridiculous action-adventure called Universal Soldier, starring Mesomorphs Jean-Claude Van Damme and Dolph Lundgren. The script is Lundgren trying to spout throwaway lines a la Arnold Schwarzenegger, but Lundgren's a stiff. Universal Soldier looks like it held its casting sessions at a health club. No one is more healthy than Jean-Claude Van Damme himself. Pretty lame stuff. Of course, Universal Soldier is ridiculous. I don't really penalize it for that. I just wish that the combatants were more interesting. Having Van Damme fight Lundgren isn't that exciting. I kept wishing he was going after some larger target rather than just a mean version of himself.
Okay, now having agreed with you on everything you've said about the movie, including how stupid it was, I want to tell you what happened to me while I was watching it. Because, you know, when you're watching a film, that's completely predictable and utterly devoid of anything that's going to interest you. Your eyes start casting about into the corners of the screen looking for something to divert you, and my eyes fell on Ali Walker as the TV newswoman, and I thought her performance was very good. She reminded me of somebody like Deborah Winger. She has an energy, she has a quickness, she has an intelligence, she's able to react within a scene and to be interested in it.
Physically,
as I watched her here, I thought, we're going to see more of her. She's a good actress.
Well, what I thought of Meg Ryan, because I'd just seen her in Prelude to a Kiss, and physically they look the same, similar kind of hair. She was doing something fresh. I don't know, when you put her in the category with Deborah Winger, that's a real high compliment.
It's high praise, but I meant it in terms of the fact that with both actresses, you feel like there's an intelligence there, and they're not just reading lines, they're really reacting to a scene.
Remember, she's working against two guys who are not really going to steal scenes from her,
Let's get her up against somebody good and see what happens.
Wow. I think it's funny that they chose to focus on Ali Walker as the next Julia Roberts in the review, right? When did that just turn into an endorsement for Ali Walker, whose career coincidentally went nowhere after this?
Well, that's not true. She was in
On some TV shit, but let's be honest, she's not the next thing.
Well, was she on The Profile or something? What the hell was she?
Okay, Criminal Minds, whatever, one of these fucking...
It was like The Profile. It was a big show. I never watched it, but yeah. But regardless, you're right. She never went far into the movies realm. Do you disagree with what they said? I don't. I don't think you can.
I think she's kind of obnoxious. And I feel like her character is standoffish, and she plays it standoffish to the material and her co-stars. She kind of seems like she's playing like she's above this.
Well, I think because she's the only person that's actually a human being in this movie.
That has logical thoughts.
I mean, nobody else is, right, at all. Everyone's such a stereotype. And she kind of is a stereotypical news reporter, right? Butting her head in where she doesn't belong, trying to get that story.
It's just so... It's the weakest part of the whole movie.
It's the movie.
It really is. And then Jerry Orbach pops up in a huge what the fuck moment. You know, and you think, why is he in this movie for this little bit of time? Then I forgot, back in 91, he was also in Seagal's Out for Justice in the very beginning. And you think, my God, was his agent just sending him out on every audition at that point? Like, I'll get the work. You go get that work. Poor Jerry.
Well, it's a B movie. I mean... What do you want?
This didn't do anything in the end to help Lundgren out, and really was not the movie that Van Damme needed to hit the next level. I think that is next year's or 93's hard target.
Yeah.
John Woo one, which still is a very flawed movie. Where do you put Universal Soldier in the overall Van Damme film canon, or at least that early canon from 88, The Bloodsport?
Well, I put it... Well, not much compares to Bloodsport as far as just like...
Well, I mean, that first can, awesome, I mean, yeah, Bloodsport, great, but I'm gonna say, you know.
Yeah, I mean, but it's right in there with all those, really. It's part of the must-see... It's a must-see Van Damme movie. If you're a Van Damme fan or you even want to get into Van Damme, which we all do, Universal Soldier is a must-see, right? There's no way you can't step around this.
It's a huge movie for the fact that it combined two... action stars in their prime for the first time. That's kind of a, you know, average idea now with Fast and Furious and all these superhero movies, that these are collective ensembles, but this was really not the case back in 1991 when this was being made. And I think that because of that, the kind of novel idea that these two mesomorphs, like Siskel said, are in this, that it's worth seeing and has some sort of validity as a science fiction action film. And especially that it's all mostly done with practical stunts, especially that sequence
it's part
with
the
trucks.
Fun, yeah.
Right, and I mean, there's so many trailer
feels
ready
like
shots
you're there. And I love, you know, 90s movies when they used to shoot machine guns into things, and you used to get the bullet holes and things. Remember that? We don't really get a lot of the bullet. You do see like the bullets hitting and this and that in movies nowadays, but it's not. You don't feel like the bullets are traveling through things or
well,
possibly
like
going to hit people, you know? It just feels more real, right? More realistic. I guess that's because that's all they could do, but...
Just like you were saying about the fact when he grabs, when Lundgren's character grabs the scientist and kills him, it's more menacing, it's more impactful.
It's just more destructive as well, too, but it's real destruction, right? It was a big thing back in the day to have a bunch of guys with machine guns just shoot the shit out of a building. Right.
Yep.
And that was it. And that was a big deal. Like, you would be attracted to that. Like, oh, wow, look at this shit. and shoot the hell out of it. You know, remember that? They buy way more than they would ever need to, of course.
Oh yeah, well, it's like the Die Hard glass sequence. It. Remember that? It's like that's kind of overkill. And always the guy getting thrown through a glass, which is evident which in this awesome. Too. You know,
yeah.
Always had these
people gotta go through a windshield through. Or two.
Got it. Somebody gets through a windshield, goes through a diner window, all sorts of shit.
Yeah, it's just fun.
Everything. And that's what I'd say this movie is. It's just a fun, good throwback. It's not gonna make the top of anyone's list, and I think that a younger generation might think this is extremely cheesy, but what we had at the time, this stood up to everything.
I still think it's fun. I mean, I think the cheesiness and all that really worked for it, and I think we could do with a lot more movies like this being made nowadays. I think people, when this is done correctly, I think people realize the fun in it. Right, I think they're still. They could still enjoy something like this. Perhaps not this exactly, but.
Well, I think I told you I took a younger generation to see T2 recently, and they really responded to that. And this is no T2, but I would hope that they would respond to this as well, because it has some of that kind of same fun and '90s cheese to it as well. And they do steal James Cameron's blue hue throughout this movie. You know, they try to.
And how is she going to get more T2? You know, you have to go with the knockoffs. Right, that's what we had, man.
That was pretty. In a 3-year vacuum, almost every movie had some sort of cyborg government, you know, taking over type doomsday thing, right? American Cyborg, Steel Warrior, this Fortress. I mean, they all kind of had that angle to it. Well, I'm glad we went back and looked at this. You glad we went back and looked at this? Obviously, just check out Universal Soldier. It's not really available. I think it's on Hulu right now. Is that right? Did you watch this?
It was on Hulu. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, so this was on Hulu. It also goes on Crackle if you have that streaming service as well, because it's a Sony, Sony
TriStar,
film.
So yeah.
I owned this on Laserdisc. You remember those things? I had this on Laserdisc. Widescreen. Not even
really?
Fucking...
I was just going to say full screen?
No, I'm sorry. No, it was full screen.
It
I had
to
no
be
idea.
Full screen, right? Yeah.
Yeah, because it was so frustrating. It would go widescreen during the credits in the beginning because it had for formatting reasons. And then
yeah,
it, would go...
it took a while to get a widescreen version of this, didn't it?
Yes, this was not widely available. I think there was a Japanese import that was available widescreen. That was it, which was extremely expensive back in the day before eBay and all that kind of stuff. You had to order through a magazine. I'm serious. You had to order back at like Premiere Magazine. That's how I used to get my Criterion collections. It's fucking not. Yeah. Or Tower Records.
I used to order movies out of magazines.
Yeah, but those were hey. Big, oversized box, and they were different. You didn't remember VHSs. Well, that's going to wrap up our retrospective for the Universal Soldiers retrospective podcast. We want to thank you all for joining us on this look back to a movie 25 years old. Can't believe it. We really enjoyed it. Hope you guys did as well. Once again, speaking for Trevor Anderson, I am Jason Rugard, and we are the Movie Mavericks.